Well, Father, I truly do thank you for tonight. I thank you for all who came out to sit in your presence. I thank you, Father God, that your angelic host is here, going through to and fro throughout the chairs, doing the perfect work that needs to be done in each and every life. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, Father God, that leads, guides, and directs us. I thank you for the anointing that destroys every yoke that you gave us this morning. I just thank you, Father God, that you are God and we are your children. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so I told you about the churches this morning, right? So I brought the figures with me. Jim Garlow, whoever he is, rightly noted when we spoke, there are approximately 364,000 churches in America. All right. 72% or 264,000 of them are liberal, meaning that they really don't care about the Bible. So that out of 364,000, 264,000 believe they don't care what's in the Bible. Okay. All right, then. Lost my place. According to exhaustive surveys, somewhere between 6,000 and 15,000 actually have a bona fide biblical worldview. That is, they see life through the lens of Scripture. All right? Now, he said, did you catch that? Nearly 72% of churches don't look at the Bible as their final source of authority and direction. No wonder America is crumbling from within the foundation. I'm sorry. No wonder America is crumbling from within the church. The foundation is deteriorating. He went on to say, bold pastors are nearly extinct, period. It would be much easier to play church and make everyone feel good, period. The church as we now know it will be functionally illegal very soon, period. So what in the world is happening? Then he said, watch this short clip. It explains what is happening. And what is happening is the people are sitting in dead churches, not being taught the truth, and they've already died on the vine, and they're just sitting there believing they're going to go to heaven, and they are not. Now, each one of you that's in here that God has ordained to go forth and preach the gospel, you better go forth and preach the gospel, the true gospel. You don't want to have people, rich people's ears. That's not going to get them to heaven. One day when you stand before God, he's going to ask you why you did not preach the true gospel. And you can't be counting heads all the time. Well, I got to have so many in my church. No, you don't. If it's just you and the chairs, Kenneth Copeland said one time they invited him to a place and nobody showed up but one man. So he gave that one man everything he had. He didn't say, well, I'm not going to preach to you. That happened to me right here in Dover. They forgot they invited me. And the only person who showed up was Linnell, the drummer. So I gave Linnell everything I had that night. And he gave his heart to Jesus and he's been come to church ever since. You know, I could have said, well, hey, well, look, my time's more important than this. I'm not going to preach this one person. But the pastor showed up eventually, and we went on with the service. But, you know, so you have to do what God's telling you to do. If you're in there for money, forget about it. Then God doesn't want anything to do with you. We're in this thing for souls and souls only. We're not in there for, so our name can be known. We're not in there for that. We are in there to save the souls that are headed for hell. All right. You got all that now? The title of this is Rule in the Midst of Your Enemies Through Peace. There's not enough of the body of Christ that's walking in perfect peace. And this is why you're finding all the turmoil going on in the church that's going on. So Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And if you do that, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, that's a scripture, and I said, we need to step into this realm and stay there. Come on. We need to step in that realm where we know that God is with us and we get the peace of God. And it doesn't matter what comes our way, we're going to be in perfect peace. Now, I don't want you to show of hands, but I can guarantee you that the majority of us in this room today, tonight, had a hard time staying in peace last week. That the enemy just come and bombarded and bombarded and bombarded. He's trying to steal our peace. And I don't know about you, but I had to pray. I cried a lot. I prayed a lot. I beat my fist on the desk a lot, just telling the devil where he could go. And not trying to keep my peace, but to make sure he didn't steal my peace. All right? Bad things are coming against the church. Hard things are coming against the church. Gross darkness is in the church. And we're going to have to fight to keep our peace. And this is why God said he didn't want, I call them draggy song service, the really beautiful songs and everything, but he wanted us to rejoice today. He wanted us to be happy, you know, and rejoice. And it's wonderful when we sing the love songs to God, but there's times we just need to rejoice because we don't get it out there in the world. And we can't do it the way we ought. But in the house of God, God's anointing's here. His spirit is here. And we can just rejoice and get filled to overflowing with joy to see us through another week. Now, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says, but the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. True peace does not come from extreme indifference, nor does it originate from becoming so spiritual that you fail to notice the world around you. You know, we live in the world, but we are not of the world. We see and hear and know everything that's going on around about us, but we don't cave into it like the world is caving in. Are you understanding that? We don't deny that the darkness is there. We don't deny that there's trouble on all sides, but we have peace in the midst of the storm. Now, see, Linnell just walked in, and Linnell, I told the story about the day I came to your church and nobody showed up except you. So this is Linnell, and he's been coming to the church for a long time. Now, peace is the fruit of being confident in God's love. It is born of the revelation that regardless of the battle, 1 John 4:4 takes hold of your spirit. And let's read what 1 John 4:4 is. You are of God. And see, some of you don't know that. Little children. And have overcome them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. We just sang that song. So you are not self-assured. You are God-assured. And the reason why we can't walk in peace is because we are not God assured. We are self-assured. We're pulling on our own self instead of on God. We're relying on our flesh to make us. In fact, when I was sitting during praise and worship, God said to me, that remember the scripture in the Bible where Jesus was walking along. No, it was a prophet was walking along. I know it's Jesus. And somebody wanted to follow. He said, follow me. And the person said, let me go back and bury my father, parents or whatever. And he said, let the dead bury the dead. You follow me. In other words, he said, you can't even go back and bury the dead. And so, and the reason why he was telling me this, because I was thinking about some of you in here, you get so hung up on family. Well, I need a family. Well, you know, if your family's not functioning right, maybe you just don't need that family. Because that family's pulling you down. What you need is God. And God is saying, let the dead bury the dead. If your family doesn't want to treat you like one of them, then you just need to move on. And I'm all for family. Believe me, I am. But I see so much where kids are rejected, or, you know, parent, one of the parents is rejected, and you're hung up on that, and you can't get past your family rejecting you. God never rejects you. So you're God assured whenever you can walk past that. Well, if you don't want to love me, then that's bad news for you because I'm the best thing that's going to come your way. All right? Come on. Instead, you bawl and you squall and you keep yourself in bondage because your family doesn't want to do for you what you think they should do. But God will always do for you what he needs to do for you. All right? See, if you can't get past that, you can't help anybody else. because you're in bondage right there, and you're going to stay in bondage area, and you can't help other people because you're bound in an area. And we can't be bound in any area if we are going to minister for the gospel. All right. The God of peace will crush Satan. To wage effective spiritual warfare, we must understand and use spiritual authority. You see that? To wage effective spiritual warfare, we must understand and use spiritual authority. Spiritual authority is not forcing your will upon another person. You just have to believe like I believe. No, they don't. I'm sorry to tell you, no, they don't. If you're going to live at my house, you're going to go to church. No, they don't. I hear so many people say that, and see, and I say that because God told me one time, if you won't love a sinner, who will? And so I don't force anybody to go to church. I just lead the life of Christ before them, and what they decide to do with that is up to them. Of course, I have rules that you don't do certain things in my home, but I don't say you have to go to church. And somebody said to me, well, you're not a very good pastor, or you would make anybody living in your house go to church. No, I don't have to do that. I don't. Jesus didn't command everybody to go to church. That they have a free will. And if you live the life of Christ before them, they'll want what you have. But when you're being arrogant and ignorant and saying you will go to church, that's going to turn them off, not turn them on. All right, so when you have spiritual authority, you have established God's peace, spiritual authority. In an area that once was full of conflict and oppression. So let's read that all together. When you have spiritual authority, you have established God's peace in an area that once was full of conflict and oppression. Therefore, to truly be able to move in authority, we must first find peace. If you don't have peace, you're not going to be able to move in authority. The Apostle Paul taught in Romans 16:20, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So when we maintain peace during warfare, it is a crushing death blow to satanic oppression and fear. Our victory never comes from our emotions or our intellect. There's many times, because it's many people, grown-up people live in my home, and, you know, they all have dumb ideas. I'm the only one who has a smart idea. No, that's not true. Just joking. And, you know, we come in conflict with one another because we think differently. And there's sometimes I say, well, you know, you just have to go away from me because they come where I'm at. You have to go away from me right now because I'm not having any peace in this conversation, and I'm not going to continue the conversation till I have peace. Because all it does is, if you don't do that, all you have is more turmoil, and you don't get anything resolved. I was talking to Brother Christopher back in the office about something, and I said, I'm going to be quiet right now, because that's not God speaking, that's me speaking, and we only want to say what God is saying. And you just need to quit. When you're speaking and you know it's your flesh, you just need to quit. What's wrong with saying, I'm not saying nothing else because God isn't speaking? What's wrong with that? Nothing. And that's why you don't do it. That's why you keep babbling on and you don't have peace. You get more conflict, and just one thing leads to another. I have two children here, two different personalities, and I have to tell them, you just be quiet now. You're just bringing conflict into the situation. Just be quiet. Don't say another word. And, of course, a 13-year-old doesn't want to shut up, you know, because they just know. And then you have a little 7-year-old who knows more than a 13-year-old. And if I don't get control and get peace, I have a little bit of a mess in my hand. Are you understanding this? And then you have a 50-year-old and a 60-year-old. So, you know, the act worse than a 13 and a 7-year-old do. Somebody has to maintain peace in a situation, or you just always live in constant conflict, right? All righty, where are we at here? Our victory comes by refusing to judge by what our eyes see or our ears hear, and by trusting that what God has promised will come to pass. Our victory comes by refusing to judge what our eyes see or our ears hear, and by trusting that what God has promised will come to pass. Quit looking at your circumstances. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And that's it. Barbara said, I had my eyes up looking at God, said, I'm trusting in you, and she tripped over the railroad track. I would say the devil knocked her down. But keep your eyes on Jesus, amen, and quit looking at your circumstances. All right, we need to understand that what we will never know, I'm sorry, we need to understand that we will never know Christ's victory in his fullness until we stop reacting humanly to our circumstances. Let's read that again, because this is where the downfall in the church is. We need to understand that we will never know Christ's victory in its fullness until we stop reacting humanly to our circumstances. You can all say amen to that, because I know a lot of you, and I know that you do that. You're guilty of that. So when you truly have authority over something, you can look at that thing without worry, fear, or intimidation. When you truly have authority over something, you can look at that thing without worry, fear, or intimidation. And I can guarantee that there's not one of us sitting in this room today or people listening that you don't have things in your life that if you kept looking at circumstances, you'd lose your mind. Because God has promised you one thing and it's totally opposite what's going on. And I have noticed in my walk with God that always happens. When God promises me something, all hell breaks loose. And the situation gets worse instead of better. What I have to do is keep my mind stayed on Christ, keep my eyes on him, because he always tells me, look up, daughter, look up. Don't look around, look up. I have to keep my eyes on him and direct every thought to him and quit concentrating on what is going on around about me. Are you understanding this? Come on, saints. If we don't get our eyes off of the circumstances in our home first, we can't go any further. Because it's in your home that the enemy works the hardest to keep you in bondage and steal your peace. Your peace is a proof of your victory. Your peace is a proof of your victory. You know, how many of you, you're in perfect, something terrible is happening around you, and you're in perfect peace. They come to you, why don't you get upset about this? What is wrong with you? Are you addle-brained or something? Don't you see what's going on? Yeah, I see what's going on, but I can't change it. I've tried. And God has given me a promise, so I'm keeping my eyes on the promise and not on what's going on around about me. You have to deliberately take your eyes off the circumstances. Deliberately take your eyes off the circumstances. Because God's not going to send a wind by and say, take that idea out of her head. No, you're going to have to do that. You have to do some work here now, saint. It's time that the church understands there's work that you have to do. Matthew 8, verse 23 says, now when Jesus got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Jesus stayed asleep. Then Jesus' disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. But Jesus said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? There goes your faith thing again. Remember, God told, he keeps talking to us about our faith. Then Jesus arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? You know, if you really walk in peace and you're really an example of Christ in your home, when troubles are running rampant in your home, they're going to come to you and say, will you please take care of the situation? Because they know that you'll bring peace into that circumstance. That happens over and over again in my home, and I hope it happens over and over again in your home, that people know that you have the perfect peace of Christ, and that if they bring the situation to you, that you'll take it to God, and God will take care of it. All right? Jesus' authority over the violent storm was the exercise and expansion of his peace over the elements. don't get excited about the elements of the world. You know, we thought we had all of our leaks in our basement fixed, and with all that water, we found out we still have a leak. And they said, why aren't you getting excited? I said, what's that going to do? We just have to sop up the water, you know, and then try to fix the situation. But getting excited about it is not going to help it. Of course, I'm not down there sopping up the water, so it's no skin off my nose, but still know the ones that are. I say, you know, what's all the fussing going to do? I used to sop up water for years until we finally got it straightened out. And fussing never fixed it. All right? And when you look at the situation, if you're fussing, it looks worse than what it really is. So quit fussing and get in peace. Jesus did not fight against the storm, nor did he fear it. See, and that's what we do. We fight against the storm, and then fear settles in. Jesus faced its fury and subdued it with his authority in perfect peace. And don't say, well, that was Jesus. No, I told you the story about me making the telling the wind. You will cease, because I'm going to fold this tarp. I wasn't Jesus, but I knew I had authority over that wind. And I knew I had the peace of God in me, and I knew I had authority, so I just stood there. Remember, I told you, it just took a good old time then folding it up. A devil, you just watch me do this thing, and you can't, wind, you can't blow, because I have authority over you. Are you listening here? It could be any situation in your life. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you're living the same type of life I'm living right now, that old devil has a bulldog head, and he's not going to quit. He's just going to show you what you don't have. And he's going to fight you, and you're going to fight back and show him what you do have. And what you do have is authority in Christ, and the enemy has to stop. He has to. And the reason why he doesn't is because you just give in to him. Oh, well, you know. Go ahead, devil, do your thing. I just want to keep peace in the household, so I won't say nothing. You know, that never works. I found out over the years it just makes it bigger. All right, now, let's talk about Jesus here. In Pilate's court, this is when they was trying Jesus, which was in a world stirred to an emotional frenzy by the powers of hell, a holy tranquility surrounded Christ, period. Hell had stirred up a terrible storm against Jesus. But because Jesus didn't get excited and upset, he didn't argue, he didn't do it, he just stood there. A holy tranquility surrounded Christ. It was peace that was born out of his resolve to do God's will no matter what the cost. So why do we get into a turmoil? Because we have not determined to do God's will in our life despite the cost. God tells us, count the cost. Count the cost before you ever go into anything. Some of you count the cost, you'd never do nothing. So you blindly go into the thing, and in the middle of it, you say, oh, well, you're in the middle of the stream. You say, oh, well, I don't want to do this. Too late. You have to finish the course. All right? But Jesus already determined, and I often think about in the Garden of Gethsemane, how he says, can't you even pray with me 1 hour? You know, he was hurting. And he had 12 disciples who all they wanted to do was sleep. And he was getting ready to go through the worst trials of his life. You don't think that he didn't feel have emotions, strong emotions then? And what did he do? He said, Father, please let this cup pass from me. But if it's your will, let your will be done. He did not want to go through what he knew he was going to go through. He was no great big jock that wanted to go through all that torment. He was a man, and he did not want to go through it. But he said, your will be done. Some of you've been, God sent you on an assignment, and it got hard, and you quit. Don't ever do that. If God sends you on assignment, he will stay with you no matter what's going on in your life. Are you understanding this? And we have to be like Jesus. So then his spirit, Jesus' spirit at this point, emanated a calm that perfectly represented the peace at God's throne. In a matter of moments, it was no longer Jesus who was on trial, but Satan, Pilate, and the religious establishment in Israel. See, Jesus kept the peace. Somebody said one time, I was in the hospital one time when Larry was dying, when he had heart surgery the first time, and they always commented, she sat there in perfect peace. She didn't cry. She didn't do nothing. She sat there in perfect peace. I had prayed, and God had said, and all I could do was sit there and thank God for what he was doing, because he told me he was going to come out of this thing. Perfect peace. Why get all rattled? If God has spoken, so shall it be, right? Satan's arsenal consists of such things as fear, worry, doubt, and self-pity. Fear, worry, doubt, and self-pity. So if you are focusing in on any of those things, then you're not in peace. Every one of these weapons robs us of peace and leaves us troubled inside. Do you want to discern where the enemy is coming against you? Well, wherever you do not have peace, you have war. Wherever you have peace, you have victory. See that? If you don't have peace about a situation, then you have war. And if you have peace about it, then you have the victory. Sometimes you know you're in perfect peace and you know they had a victory, but you'd like just like to just slam the devil in the head, right? Or say, God, come on, I'm sitting here in perfect peace about this thing, but I need it done right now. But God's going to take his time, because everything's done in his timing, not in ours. Sometimes I like to push the hands of this clock up or something. Right? You can always tell how close you are walking with God, how much peace you have, when Satan starts hurling his darts at you. If you are walking close, you will have perfect peace. Peace. And you probably go here too. You have peace about a situation, but you're upset about the situation. You know, you think, how many times do we have to do this thing? And I'm talking about people, being a pastor. How many times do we have to go around this mountain before they finally understand? I have peace about it. I know God's taking care of it, but I just get exasperated that the people still keep doing the same things over and over again. All right? So I have to give it to God. And just quit my ranting and raving and just let God have it and move on to something else. Because the devil would like you to stay right there in that spot and never move on to anything else. Philippians 1:28 says, and you will not be afraid of those who are against you. All of this is proof from God that you are being saved and that your enemies will be lost. Your peace, your immovable stand upon the word of God, is a sign that you are positioned correctly in focused submission to the will of God. Philippians 1:28 says, and you will not be afraid of those who are against you. All of this is proof from God that you are being saved and that your enemies will be lost. You know, with the president, my Lord, he ought to walk in perfect peace. Knowing that his enemies already are lost for all the enemies he has coming against them. And then I said, your peace, your immovable stand upon the word of God, is a sign that you are positioned correctly in focused submission to the will of God. The very fact that you are in no way alarmed by your adversary is a sign that you have authority over him. And some of you in here that's going to start your churches or have already started, you're going to find out real quickly how quickly the enemy is going to come against you. You're going to find real quickly how he's going to come and try to destroy everything that God has built up. And you're going to have to know who you are in Christ. You're going to have to know what God has called you for to do. And you're going to have to stand in perfect peace knowing that God is with you. And that's how you're going to defeat the adversary. Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Peacemakers are sons of God, according to this. You know, if you're going around stirring up strife all the time, you're not even of God. Because you'll be a peacemaker and you won't be stirring up strife. You'll be working to bring peace into situations. Peace is spirit power. Peace is an attribute of the Holy Spirit. And when you are walking in peace, you're walking in power. See that? A peacemaker is not merely someone who protests against war. Excuse me. He is one who is inwardly so yielded to Christ in spirit and purpose that he can be called a son of God. Why do you stir up strife? If you claim to be a child of God, why are you going around stirring up strife? You shouldn't be doing that. You should be speaking peace. If somebody's around you stirring up strife and God tells you not to say a word, then don't say a word. Well, I have to stop it. No, you don't. If God hasn't told you to stick your nose into it, then keep your nose out of it. God knows what needs to be done in the situation. Where he goes, God goes, and where God goes, he goes. This is a person that's yielded to God. He is fearless, calm, and bold. You know, people look at you, don't people look at you sometimes and say, who do you think you are? It's because you know who you are in God and you're fearless and bold and calm and you have the peace of God in you and they can't understand that. They want you to act like they do, like a heathen. How many times have you had people say, who do you think you are? And you're saying, smiling, saying to yourself, I'm a child of God. Or you just speak out loud, I'm a child of God. That's who I think I am. And that's not who I think I am. That's who I know I am. All right. Come on. You have to be bold in this. How are you ever going to run a church if you don't know who you are in Christ and you're bold about it? I used to be very timid, and see, and I don't like myself right now because I have never been bold before. I used to be very timid and wouldn't say nothing about nothing and just let people run all over me. And then this time around, God says, now, that's done. You're no longer a doormat, and you're going to speak the truth in boldness and in power and in authority. So that's where we're at, church. We're in a different dispensation, and we need the boldness to destroy the works of the enemy. Not only in our lives, but in the lives of others and in the lives of the church. All right, where am I at here? Peace emanates from him, you know, the person that's walking in peace, the way light and heat radiate from fire. You need to understand that in the battles of life, your peace is actually a weapon. How many of you just wouldn't let somebody, you wouldn't get into somebody's argument and you sit there and was real quiet and it makes them so mad they don't know what to do with themselves. You know, they just really get mad because you won't get upset at what they're doing. See, it's because you have perfect peace. You're standing in the will of God and you're not ranting and raving like they are. And that makes the devil mad because his object at that point was to get you upset and get you out of the will of God. And they say, see, and you call yourself a child of God. See, that's what he was trying to do. And because he couldn't do that, then they say, well, who do you think you are? All right, your confidence declares that you are not falling for the lies of the devil. You need to understand that the first step toward having spiritual authority over the adversary is having peace in spite of our circumstances. When Jesus confronted the devil, he did not confront Satan with his emotions or in fear. Knowing that the devil was a liar, he simply refused to be influenced by any other voice than God's. His peace overwhelmed Satan, then his authority shattered the lie, which sent demons fleeing. Yet to rest before you rule. In Psalm 23:4, David declared, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Some of you can't say that. Fear rules you. There is a place of walking with God where you simply fear no evil. So I read where all these people's heads were chopped off overseas somewhere, all the Christians. And I was thinking, I just wonder how many of them were rejoicing and how many were walking in fear. You go ahead and cut my head off. I don't care. I won't have to put up with this world. That's my attitude, right? You know, so if it's your time to die, it's your time to die. You aren't going to do anything else anyhow. And if they want to chop your head off, go and let them chop their head off. You'll be with God if you're living right. All right, during his lifetime, David faced many enemies, including a lion, a bear, and a giant. In this psalm, he stood in the shadow of death itself, yet he feared no evil, according to what we just read. David's trust was in the Lord. He said, you are with me, period, right? And because God is with you, every adversary you face will unfold in victory as you maintain your faith in God. You know, as a scenario unfolds, you are going to be in victory. This peace message is very important tonight, guys. I want you to really take this into your spirit because we are headed into some really dark ages. And the devil's going to try to do everything he can to undermine everything God is doing. And if you don't have perfect peace, you're going to go under, right? Now, victory as you maintain your faith in God. Oh, I'm sorry, I read that. In verse 5, David continued, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." How many times has God said, "Come and dine"? He wants you to go up there and sit with him, and no matter what your enemies are doing to you. The battle you are in will soon become a meal to you, an experience that will nourish and build you up spiritually. What did David tell Goliath right before he killed him? And this is, I just thought this is very interesting. In 1 Samuel 17:42, the giant looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." See that? David was in perfect peace as he stood before Goliath. He knew what kind of God he served. See, the church does not know that. It does not understand that. Mark, God is really pinpointing you tonight. You have a big assignment ahead of you, and the enemy's going to come after you, but you're going to have to be in perfect peace, and you're going to have to know that God sent you on your assignment. How many of you in here, like David, was in perfect peace as he stood before Goliath? He knew what kind of God he served. Are you in perfect peace? The source of God's peace is God himself. In Revelation 4:6, before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The glass sea is a symbol. There are no ripples, no waves, and no anxieties troubling God. He had the glass sea around him. The Lord is never worried, never in a hurry, nor without an answer. The sea around him is perfectly still and totally calm. And see, when we're trying to get God to hurry up and do his works, we're not in peace. We're not in perfect calm. All our victories flow out from being seated here with God. God is our Father. The heavenly Jerusalem is our mother and the birthplace of our new nature. And you are a beloved child of God, part of the Father's family and a member of his household. So why do you not have peace? Ask yourself, why do I not walk in peace? You must know by revelation that you are not struggling to get into heaven. Rather, you were born there in spiritual rebirth. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Tonight, you need to be settled in your heart and positioned correctly in your relationship with the Father. Psalm 110:1 tells us, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." That's saying get in perfect peace. And trust me, before you go into warfare, recognize that it's not you that the devil is afraid of. It's the Christ in you. How many times have I had God said that to you? Ephesians 2:6, "And raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So that's telling us we have been raised up and seated with Christ in heavenly places. Worship of God is our first response in battle. Position yourself in the presence of God. In the Bible, every time before they went to war, they always praised. And the praisers were leading the army. We don't know the weapon of praise like we should. or we would not be distressed all the time. Set at rest in the knowledge that Christ has already made your enemies the footstool for your feet. Psalm 110, verse 1 and 2, a psalm of David that the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. Now, from a position of rest, the word of the Lord continues, the Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. Come on. Rule in the midst of your enemies. The Lord will stretch forth your strong scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies. The church is not ruling in the midst of their enemies. The enemy is ruling you. You can see that in people's faces. You can see that in the way they get frantic every time something bad happens. They're worried about where their next meal's coming from. They're worried about where if they're going to lose their job. They're worried about this. They're worried about that and worried about something else. You're not sitting at the feet of Jesus and resting. You're walking in your flesh and you're not in peace about anything. Believe me, us older people know that you can fret and worry until your hair turns gray and you can't change a thing. When you learn to talk to God and learn to hear his voice and he tells you what's going to happen and then you settle it in your spirit, this is the way it's going to go, and they just go with the flow. Quit fighting against the pricks, God's saying, and just go with the flow and allow God to do what he needs to do. Every one of you sitting here, you have life experiences. And you know you couldn't change them. But once you put God in control of your life and the situations around about you, without you even doing any work, all of a sudden one day you woke up and it was changed, right? All of a sudden one day you weren't the distraught person you were the day before. You was all of a sudden walking in peace and wondering, why am I so peaceful when things haven't changed? Yet I'm walking in peace. Are you listening to me? And you really, you know, as I've been last year thinking about my past and how I was raised and this, that, and the other, I always thought I just had everything, and I really had nothing in the world's eyes. I spent more time living in a car than I did living in a house because of the way being in military, the way my husband was transferred every year or two. And I was just as happy as a bug in a rug. Me and the kids, they just thought it was wonderful. But, you know, it's where is your mind? Is your mind stayed on Christ? Are you just make every situation a good situation instead of looking at the bad side of it? Look at the good side of it and get in peace about it. God would really like to bless us more than we're being blessed. But because we won't give him our situations and let him carry that load so we can do his work, he can't bless us because we won't let go of that heavy burden that we want to carry around. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about. I've been there more times than I care to say. And every time, and I just give it to God. It's no longer a burden. It's still there. It no longer drags me down. It's still there. But I'm walking around like I just have everything. And then I'm just the worries. And people say, I thought you had more than you have. And I said, I do. I have everything I need in Christ, right? Material things get you nothing. But Jesus gives you all things. And if we trust God, he's going to take care of us. Quit fretting about what's going to happen tomorrow. God keeps telling us that. Live today to its fullest. And how many of you right now with what you know, how many of you, if you'd known what you know today, you would have lived a much happier life? Wouldn't you have? You wouldn't let the cares of the world suck you under. Tonight, God wants to know, do you want to walk in perfect peace? Do you want God to touch you tonight in a way that it'll take away all that stuff that's dragging you down? God's calling it discomfort. And he wants to give you perfect peace. If you do, the altar's open. And when you come up here, God is going to touch you. And you're going to find out that life is not going to bother you like it did before tonight. And we need to be peacemakers. God wants to send us forth into this troubled world, and you can't go into, he can't send you into a troubled world if you yourself do not have peace.